now in the studio, we have Fitter Happier that we have every week. And not everyone drinks alcohol, but for those of you who do, keeping your alcohol consumption under the national guidelines is an important part of building and living a healthy lifestyle. The more you drink and the more often you drink, the more likely you are to experience alcohol-related disease. You can be at risk of harm because of just one night on alcohol and if you drink regularly. So there are lots of resources and support services out there to help you help someone else. Today we've got Julia Stafford from the McCluster Centre for Action on Alcohol and You, and she's here to talk today with me. How are you going?
Hi, great to be with you.
Thank you. So can you let us know what's happening with our youth and alcohol?
It's a really interesting question, and it's a great time to be talking about that because we have some really good news from recent surveys show that more young people are choosing not to drink, and for those who are drinking, they're choosing to drink a bit later, so at a bit of an older age, and they're not quite drinking as much. So there's some really great news. I think they're really encouraging trends because of all the risks associated with young people and alcohol. Given what we know now about the impacts of alcohol on the developing brain, some of those particular harms because young people are vulnerable to the effects of alcohol perhaps more than adults are, it's such great news that more young people are choosing not to drink.
So when did these stats come out? How do we know that young children aren't drinking as much? Or what age do young children start drinking?
So often in the teen years, but it seems to be moving up into the older teen years that some people are starting to drink alcohol. So that's good. The later the later that you can start drinking, the better for your health, both now and in the future. We know about these trends because there are some really great surveys done with school students every 3 years. We really rely on those kinds of surveys to tell us what some of the trends are. And we're seeing that across Australia and in other countries as well.
So is Australia, we obviously here we're 18 is the legal age, and overseas in some countries it's 21, and in other countries it's a lot lower than 18. Do our stats kind of measure up to other countries?
Yeah, you're right. There are different ages that it's legal to purchase alcohol. In Australia, that's 18. I think we see that the older the age that people can start legally drinking, the older they're likely to start drinking. So having an older legal age kind of pushes up the age that young people might start drinking. So you know, we often see it around 18 or perhaps a little bit earlier. And, you know, the later that can start, the better.
Sure. How does alcohol consumption affect our health?
Yeah, good question. There are immediate risks from drinking too much, and there are longer-term risks. So if you think of some of those short-term harms that can happen if you have a really big night, for example, you might be more at risk of injuries. That could be from falls, and unfortunately we see a lot of that, and hospitals see a lot of injuries from alcohol, from falls, from violence, so unfortunately from assaults, and from road crashes or from pedestrians who, if they're intoxicated, they might do things that they might not otherwise.
So specifically with young people, how does alcohol affect young people?
So as I mentioned, we know more and more about the impacts of alcohol on the developing brain. That's been fairly new information from the last few years as the science has developed and we're able to see more into young people's brains. And I think it's really important that people understand that there are harms that you can't see, and some of those harms aren't going to be noticeable until later. So with young people, we talk about it being really important to delay starting to drink as long as possible, because that means you're less likely to have problems now and you're less likely to have problems later. So for young people who drink a lot at a young age, they're more likely to have some of those dependence issues at a later age as well. So that's why the national guidelines say for under 18s, no alcohol is the safest choice.
Yeah, sure. And how can we tell what a safe level of drinking is? Like, how much is too much?
We're really fortunate in Australia to have low-risk drinking guidelines, and these are informed by the best available evidence. And so they really tell us how to drink at a low-risk level, how to stay safe as best you can. So, as I said, for under-18s, no alcohol is the safest choice. And for adults, to reduce your risks of long-term harm from alcohol, it's best to have no more than 2 standard drinks on any day. So there are really great campaigns come out now. Some of your listeners might have seen the Glass Body campaign, which shows a body made of glass and some of those harms that can develop in terms of cancers, cardiovascular disease. The message there is that to reduce your risk of alcohol harms, reduce your drinking.
What is a standard drink? Like when we go down the pub or when you buy something from the bottle, how do you know what an actual standard drink is?
Yeah, it can be really hard to tell, particularly if you're measuring and pouring your own drinks. There's a great tool on the Alcohol Think Again website where you can pour graphically pour a drink, a standard drink, and see what your estimate is and how it compares to what a real standard drink is, using different kinds of glasses, different types of alcohol. So that can be a really good and fun way to figure out how you're pouring a drink, how it compares to an actual standard drink.
Yeah. So previously, we obviously had the Alco-Pop tax come in feels like a long time ago, but probably wasn't that long ago. And that was put in to help people stop drinking underage, I guess, or starting to drink at a later age. But what are patterns of drinking that may be seen as normal in our society or our culture that's actually causing or posing as serious risks to our health?
Yeah, for some people, it's quite normal for them to come home at the end of the day, they've had a hard day and they might have a drink or two. For some people, that's a habit and that might not cause immediate problems, but it can contribute to longer term problems that aren't going to be visible for a while. So that regular drinking can contribute to your risk of cancer, heart disease, and some other problems later in life. So that's why the guidelines say drink no more than 2 standard drinks on any day, and to reduce your risks, reduce your drinking.
So what are some practical ways on how we can start to manage our alcohol consumption?
Mm. For those people who might have some concerns about their drinking or just want to get a little bit healthier, some good options is to reduce how often you drink. So if you drink every day, perhaps it could be every second day or every third day, and reduce how much you drink on each of those occasions. So if you have 3 drinks normally, perhaps cut it back to 2 or 1 drink at a time. There's some quite simple ways to reduce how much you drink. When you catch up with friends, rather than just doing the standard thing of going down to the pub or having people over for drinks, think of something different to do. There's lots of other fun ways to hang out with your friends. And so just think outside the box a little bit about how you spend your time with friends and how you socialise.
Yeah, sure. And just about that going down to the pub, when we are drinking, is there like one drink that's particularly worse than another? Or are they all generalised?
Alcohol is alcohol.
Yeah.
That's the core component of these drinks that is associated with these risks. It's the alcohol content. So it might be a good idea to have a look at what lower alcohol options there are. So there's lots of mid and low strength beers available now, lower strength wines. They might be worth considering if you're trying to cut back.
All right. So how can people get help? What can we do if we fear that we may be, at that stage where we need to start cutting back?
Yeah, there's lots of resources available. One I can suggest is the Alcohol Think Again website. That has some great tools about risk assessment tools where you can plug in how much you drink, how often you drink, and it can talk you through some of those risks and how to pour a standard drink. There's also online chat functions on the Alcohol Think Again website. There are also some really important helplines, support lines that people can call. So the WA government runs the alcohol and drug support lines where people can talk to a counsellor or just a support person. And there are also other options in terms of talking to your GP.
Yep.
Or seeking some counselling help for perhaps a slightly more serious problem.
What would you suggest, say we have a family member or someone, a loved one, who we think may have a problem with alcohol? How would you suggest going about that and trying to help them in a way that when someone may not want help?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Again, the Alcohol Think Again website will have some information about how we can support our friends and family. And there's also the Parent and Family Drug Support Line, and that can help for free to get some advice, just to talk through your issue and get some support yourself.
Yeah. Well, right now we're with Julia Stafford from the McCusker, is that how you say it?
McCusker Centre.
McCusker Centre for Action on Alcohol and Youth. Thank you so much for your time today.
It's a pleasure.
And for free help, anyone who may want to get in contact with someone to help them out, anyone can contact the Alcohol and Drug Support Line on 9442 5050.
This has been an RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is an independent community radio station that relies on the public for financial support. You can subscribe online at rtrfm.com.au/subscribe.